Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill calling in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, fitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Apologize for the hesitation at the top of the hour. I'm calling from Pensacola, Florida, here in the Panhandle, and we had a power surge here at my location, which knocked our phone system out. So the phone system is trying to reboot itself now. But if you would like to join the show, we're going to be talking about the Texas Heartbeat Bill and what it means in Florida and in other states. If you would like to join the conversation, it's 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. 0917. So let's talk a little bit about the heartbeat bill, the Texas heartbeat bill. That bill was challenged. It was passed in Texas, which essentially says that once a heartbeat has been detected in the womb, then that baby cannot be aborted. Right now, they're saying that that means that it could happen as early as 6 weeks, that a baby could not be aborted. However, I have heard where it can happen, be detected as early as 18 days. So the Texas heartbeat bill passed in Texas. It was signed into law by the governor, Governor Abbott, who, by the way, is an excellent governor in my mind. It was challenged, went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court allowed the law to stand, which means that in Texas, once a heartbeat is detected, then that baby cannot be aborted. Great news, fantastic news. Now, what does that mean in other states? Almost immediately, here in Florida, Representative Anthony Sabatini filed a bill that will mirror the Texas bill here in Florida. So it would be the Florida heartbeat bill. Now, Anthony Sabatini is a friend of mine. He and I served in the Florida House together. I served in the House for 5 years, from 2013 up through 2020. There was a small break in there, but I did serve in the Florida House, and I served with Anthony Sabatini. And Anthony Sabatini told me previously that he had, let me back up just a little bit. When I was in office, I filed a heartbeat bill. In fact, I did that back in 2019. And as I filed that bill, it was very clear, simple, and plain. That says once a heartbeat has been detected in the womb, the baby cannot be aborted. So I submitted that bill into the legislative body. However, it did not get a committee hearing. At that time, the Speaker of the House, Representative Jose Oliva, did not get it to allow it to get to a committee for debate and to eventually get to the floor for a vote. He blocked it the entire time. Why? I'm not quite sure, but he did. So Representative Anthony Sabatini filed the bill once I left office. He filed the identical heartbeat bill, which I had filed. Now, my heartbeat bill did not allow any exceptions for rape or incest. And the reason why I did not have those exceptions in the bill is because I am of the firm belief that the one who is being born should not be punished for the crime of the father. As horrific as rape and incest are, that child should not be killed because the father did that. So that baby is innocent and should have the chance for life. That here we are in a situation that is horrible. It's a horrible situation. You talk about rape and incest. And despite that horrible situation, God determined that there's going to be life here. And who are we to tell God that he made a mistake and to kill that baby? No, I don't think so. What we are going to do is let that baby live. That was what my bill said. I believe that the Texas bill does allow exceptions for the case of rape and incest. So Anthony Sabatini originally filed my bill, but then when he saw that this Texas bill passed through the U.S. Supreme Court, he changed the bill to mirror the Texas bill. Now, I will say that I agree with that move, because there are so many in the Florida legislature who would not support a bill without those exceptions, and also because they would use as an excuse that we're going to face a lawsuit, and then it'll we will likely lose that, and now we've spent a lot of money and we wasted a lot of time. Well, now that this Texas heartbeat bill has passed all the way up through the U.S. Supreme Court, then it likely will not face a challenge in Florida. And if it does, then it should pass because it has already been heard at the U.S. Supreme Court. So I agreed with him changing that so that it does mirror that Texas bill. Now, will it pass? Well, we'll see. I do know that when I filed my bill back in 2019, and by the way, that was during a time when it was sweeping the nation. Heartbeat bills were being passed in Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma. It was being passed through many states. And a lot of those bills that were passed were modeled after the bill that I had written for Florida first, and they were passing in those state legislatures. And then predictably, the left would challenge it, and they would bring it before some leftist judge who would strike it down. Well, now the Texas heartbeat bill did pass, and that should give a lot of hope for not only Florida, but all the other states which have filed their bills. So when I filed the heartbeat bill in 2019, at that time, Governor DeSantis said, "You get the bill to my desk, I will sign it into law." And we were all so encouraged by that. And so we were, that bill, the heartbeat bill, that in that particular session received more co-sponsors than any other single bill that was being proposed at that time. We had over 24 House members who were co-sponsors, and we had 12 senators who were co-sponsors. So that was enough of a majority that the bill would pass if only it had gotten the opportunity to go before a committee and then be heard on the floor. But it was blocked by, at that time, Speaker of the House, Jose Oliva, and Senate President Bill Galvano. They would not let it move in either the House or in the Senate. So now that heartbeat bill has been approved, the Texas heartbeat bill, and Representative Anthony Sabatini, who, by the way, is an excellent patriot, and understand he's going to be running for Congress in Florida. He needs your support, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a good man like Sabatini in the Congress. He has filed the identical Texas heartbeat bill here in Florida. When the current Senate President, Wilton Simpson, was asked about the bill, he said, "Absolutely, let's do it. Let's get it done." That was so encouraging to hear that. And then current Speaker of the House, Chris Sprouls, Representative Chris Sprouls, when he was asked, his response was a little more tepid. He said, "Well, let's take a look at it and let's see." And then the governor, he was asked, and he says, "Well, I haven't read the Texas bill, but we'll take a look at it." Well, that's a bit discouraging to me. You shouldn't have to take a look at anything when you're talking about saving life. When you're talking about preventing the murder of that preborn child in the womb. That instead, what we should be concerned about is protecting that life, honoring your oath of office. Your oath of office said that you do solemnly swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, inextricably tied to the Constitution is the Declaration of Independence. And you're all familiar with the phrase, the Declaration of Independence, which says that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property. And that government to secure these, and that government is instituted among men to secure these rights, deriving their just powers by the consent of the governed. In other words, the only reason that government exists is to protect and defend our God-given rights. So because of that, and because of my oath of office, where I swore that I would protect and defend the Constitution, I was obligated to file a bill protecting life in the womb, the preborn. So I hope that as this bill is introduced in Florida, that many of the legislative body will recognize their oath of office, which, by the way, for me, when I took that oath, it wasn't just between me and the official administering the oath. And it wasn't just between me and my constituents, even though they are all included. That oath was between me and the living God. I was promising God that I would support and protect the Constitution. For me, it was an act of worship. And if I was to show any fidelity at all to my oath of office, then I had to file the heartbeat bill. And I hope that many of those in a legislative body right now, both in the House, Senate, and our governor, will recognize that their oath of office is a sacred duty. It is a sacred responsibility, and that they will vote to protect life in the womb. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any thoughts, any questions, any concerns you would like to share about the Florida Heartbeat Bill, you can join us here at 904-831-0917. Again, we'll take your calls at 904-831-0917. Okay, now on to another topic. By the way, as I go into this next topic, if you still want to talk about the abortion bill, the heartbeat bill, if you want to talk about critical race theory, please go ahead and call in. Okay, now, here is something about how the Biden administration wants control of your bank accounts. That's right. I received an email from a First National Bank community bank out of Midville City in Oklahoma. And this is what they stated. As your community bank, this is dated August 30th, as your community bank, we want our customers to know the facts, especially when it relates to concerning developments around public policy that exposes your financial privacy. In other words, here is a bank sending out a letter to all its customers saying, hey, we are very concerned about your financial privacy. And this is why they are concerned. The Biden administration has proposed requiring all community banks and other financial institutions to report to the IRS on all deposits and withdrawals through business and personal accounts worth more than $600, regardless of tax liability. Did you get that, ladies and gentlemen? The Biden administration is proposing that all community banks and other financial institutions would be required to report to the IRS all deposits and withdrawals through business and personal accounts worth more than $600, regardless of if it is taxable income or not. So let's say you get paid, and you get paid more than $600. I hope you do, at any rate, unless you're a teenage kid, and then that's good money. But your paycheck being deposited into your account, let's say that it is $1,500 that it gets deposited, that transaction would have to be reported to the IRS. Now, if that's not an overreach of power, I don't know what is. And again, the government has no authority to do that. No authority at all. No constitutional right to do that. And here's this bank. I'm going to go back to reading their letter. This indiscriminate, comprehensive bank account reporting to the IRS can soon be enacted in Congress and will create an unacceptable invasion of privacy for our customers. Hooray for this bank. And I would hope that all banks would take a similar position. We work, okay, let's go back to reading the letter now. It goes on to say, we work for our customers and our community, not the IRS. That's exactly right. Hooray for them. Join us in telling Congress that proposed IRS bank account profiling is intrusive and indiscriminate for our customers. Again, this is the FNB Community Bank out of Oklahoma. Very well-written, strong letter. Tell us what you think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Call in at 904-831-0917. So here's a bank that is saying, we are not for reporting anything to the IRS. We don't work for them. We work for our customers, and they are exactly right. Here is an article that's titled, The Left Doesn't Just Want to Censor You on Social Media, It Also Wants to Close Your Bank Accounts. This was an article written by Annalise Butler and Anthony Imperato out of the Daily Signal. It's dated September 2nd. It says, when White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that people who spread misinformation, in quotes, shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others, she revealed the left's chilling plan for censoring content that goes against the left narrative. It is becoming increasingly clear that political leaders on the left and big tech are joining arms to not just deplatform dissident voices from social media, but to bar them from the digital space entirely, including from having the ability to make and receive payments online. So here is the left that is going to bludgeon you into submission, either by silencing you or by preventing you from buying and selling. That is unconscionable. Can you believe that? Okay, let's get back to the article here that was written by Annalise Butler and Anthony Imperato for the Daily Signal. This comes just a couple of months after Wells Fargo made the, end quote, business decision to close 2020 Republican Delaware Senate candidate Lauren Wiskey's account. Two of the more prominent digital payment services, PayPal and Stripe, have also become active cancel culture participants. Now, think about that. Here's Wells Fargo, who closed the account of a Republican Senate candidate. Can you believe that? Closed their account, preventing them from receiving campaign donations or from spending that money purchasing needed items for their campaign. Now, PayPal, let's go back to the article. PayPal has admitted to closing accounts flagged by the disgraced Southern Poverty Law Center in 2019. Now, PayPal has announced a partnership with the left-leaning Anti-Defamation League to focus on further uncovering and disrupting the financial pipelines that support extremist and hate movements. Can you believe that? Here it is, banks like Wells Fargo, then there's PayPal, and Stripe, who are also getting involved and closing accounts that have been flagged by these left-leaning organizations, the disgraced Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Anti-Defamation League. Now, in their joint statement, neither PayPal nor the Anti-Defamation League explicitly define
what they may mean by extremist and hate movements, but it would be naive to think that mainstream conservative will escape the crosshairs of this new partnership. Continuing on with the article, following the January 6th Capitol riot, Stripe stopped paying payment processing services for the Trump campaign's website and online fundraising efforts, as well as for individuals who have been present at the protest turned riot, they call it. So conservative organizations and individuals have been censored by their digital payment and financial service companies, not because of what they say on these platforms, but because of who they are. These woke institutions are replacing financial credit with social credit. Ladies and gentlemen, that is unconscionable. And we need to make sure that we do not stand for that. Don't sit back and let them do to you what they are trying to do. Be heard. Stand up. Be strong. Remember, just like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said before King Nebuchadnezzar, God will save us. But even if he didn't save us, O king, know this, we will not bow before you. And you must have that same attitude. We are not going to bow before this Biden administration. We are not going to bow to the left. We are not going to bow to critical race theory. We are not going to bow to any of this nonsense of those who are trying to overthrow this great nation. God gave us this nation as a gift, and it is worth fighting for. Pray, saints. Pray for this nation. Pray for Dr. Youngblood and for his son, Gene, for Gene to be healed completely of those complications of COVID. Let him pray and ask for his strength. Pray for this nation, God's mercy and continued grace on this nation. This is Mike Hill, former state representative, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Thank you for joining the program today. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.